Sermon title today is Decisions, Decisions. And if you'd turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start reading from verse 17. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Decisions, decisions. So much of the scripture that we're going to read today, it's a little hard to know where to start and where to stop because it's all so very, very good. And with Jonathan leaving today, we're not going to have the scripture on the overhead like we've been doing the last couple weeks, which many people have said they really appreciate that. So we will get back to that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I am a born-again believer. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I no longer walk in the way that I used to walk. I no longer am directed by the power or the authority of the flesh that is in my life. I walk directed by and governed by the Spirit of the living God. Verse 16 again. It says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." Today we know Christ, not through the flesh, but through the Spirit. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is so rich, you never know when to start and where to stop in that whole chapter. But if you turn to Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 5 through 17, so you kind of get an emphasis of what's going on here. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Hallelujah. Verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you have put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God." Hallelujah. You are a son and daughter of God today if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." Verse 14 again, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God." As born-again believers, we are no longer led or directed by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And the trouble in the church in America today is you cannot tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Those in the church and those outside the church conduct themselves the same way. And the world needs to see the difference that is in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus. It is like the Lord is pleading through you for them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the world needs to be able to see the difference in our lives today. Most of Christianity today in America is led by the flesh. They are not led by the Spirit. We serve a holy and righteous God who wants His people following Him and not themselves. When you walk in the flesh, you are following self. What you want, what you think, and what you think is best for you. When you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For those who live according to what? According to the flesh, set their minds on what? On the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." In verse 8, "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, since you are a free moral agent. The God-given ability to choose was given to each and every one of us." And yourself, you as a person, you receive information many, many ways in your life. Then you make the decision which way that you are going to choose to follow. Are you going to walk in the flesh or are you going to walk in the Spirit? If you walk in the flesh, as it says in Galatians chapter 5, you will be fulfilling the fruits of the flesh. But we need to walk in the Spirit. Then you make the decision which way that you're going to choose to follow. Number one, the flesh, your thoughts, your ways. Number two, common sense. And yes, common sense is a good thing, but it won't get you there. It's still being led by the flesh. Common sense is a good thing, but it will not get you into the relationship and get you developing that relationship that you need to have with the Lord Jesus Christ, because in all your common sense, there's still a certain amount of flesh that's involved in that, of what you will do and what you will not do. Number three, the world standards, which is fleshly in nature, ruled by the god of this world. Intelligence. Education is good, but it's still motivated by the flesh. A caution, or it can be. Number three, since you are not robots, God even allows the adversary to have input in the decisions that you make. So when you make a decision about something, which method do you use? Do you use your common sense? Do you use the decision and the direction of the world that's led by the god of this world? Do you use intelligence to say, well, this is the decision I need to make because this is the intelligent decision I need to make? Or as a Christian, as a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, seeking God's will and not your own will? So when you make a decision about something, which method do you use? But God tells us we are to make decisions according to the Word of God, being led by the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God." Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. And we start at verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. "And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some said that you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now verse 16 again. Verse 16 says, "Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for what? For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I remember a minister coming to my house, and he so badly wanted me to accept Jesus, and I wasn't ready to accept Jesus. And you know what my comment was to him? I said, well, when I get this Christianity thing all figured out, then I will make a decision of whether I am going to accept Jesus or not. And he told me, Leo, you will never get it figured out until you accept Jesus, because it is spiritually discerned. Peter, he said, it's not flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. It's not your intelligence. It's not the direction of the world. It's not the flesh telling you that I am the very Son of God, that I am the Messiah. It is my Father that has revealed that to you through the Spirit. The Spirit would never lead someone outside of the Word of God, which is the will of the Father. The Father has revealed this to you by His Spirit. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in perfect harmony. These three are one. The Spirit reveals the Father's will. The Word is Spirit-led. Jesus is the living Word of God. He reveals the will of the Father. The Spirit would never lead someone outside of the Word of God, which is the will of the Father. Now, why is that important? Because you'll have people say, well, God told me to shoot all these people. Well, God did not tell him to shoot all those people, because that would be adverse to the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is never going to tell you to do out anything outside of the Word of God. Because of the unity between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we as Christians today, we are led, we are taught in our relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. In each and every one of our hearts and our lives. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. Turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44. Look what he says here. John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. You can't know Jesus apart from the Spirit of God, because you're drawn to him in that relationship. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at several really close together in Revelation chapter 2. So we go to Revelation, go to the last book in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 2. And I want you to catch the spirit of what God is speaking to the people here today as we read this. In Revelation 2, verse 11, we're going to go through these very quickly. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Verse 29, same chapter. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Chapter 3, verse 6. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 13, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 22 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Ask yourself, what does the Spirit say? What does the Spirit say? When you're making a decision in your life and you don't know how to answer that decision, if you don't hear from God, you don't do anything. That's always been our goal for Carol and I. If I have peace over it and I feel like I have peace over it, then I will make a decision to move forward with it. But if I don't have peace over it, God is not the author of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. You, brother and sister, need to use the power that God has put in your life by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because he wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He wants you to be that ambassador. He wants somebody that through their own life is pleading with others to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you look at this building today, It wasn't built on our decision making. It wasn't built in the flesh because we'd have never done it. We didn't build it with common sense because we would have never done it. Common sense said not to build. Common sense says you don't have enough money. Common says you can't do this. There's no way it's going to work out. You're going to fall in the red if you even try it. But the Spirit said what? The Spirit said build. And we trusted in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just the pastor, and it's not just the leaders of the church that need to be trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, but every believer in their life need to be trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, because I know if I don't know anything else, I know that Jesus Christ wants to lead you. And He wants to lead you in developing a closer relationship with Him. None of these methods work when it comes to building this church. If we used any of them, we would have never built. This work is God-led and God-inspired, or it would not be here. And you know what else? That's why God is blessing it, because it is God-inspired. There are many things that man can do, but who gets the glory in that? God must blow the analytical mind. Two plus two for the world always equals four. But two plus two for God may make 17. God is not a methodology. He wants to lead His people. Don't put God in a box. He doesn't fit on a spreadsheet. He doesn't fit on a column. Common sense is good. Intelligence is good. But not if it leads you away from God. The Scripture says in Luke chapter 6:45, for out of the abundance of the heart, His mouth speaks. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, lean not to your own understanding. In Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says, a way that seems right to man, but leads in destruction. So we receive info from a lot of sources. We must make the decision of what we are going to do. Is God your provider? Is God not your provider? So many times we will line things up in the world and say, well, I've got this bill, and I've got this bill, and I've got to pay this, and I've got to pay that. And you know what? I just cannot pay my tithe because I am not going to make it to the end of the month. When your tithe should have been the first thing you paid for. Why? It's because, or that you gave to. Because why? Because God is your provider. Never set yourself in the standard of the world that everything works according to the way of the world, nor the standard of the world, because you have been called out of the world. You're no longer a part of that world. I don't think like other people think. I don't do what other people do. I don't make decisions like other people make decisions, because I am a child of the Most High God. I'm not only an heir, I'm a co-heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that the Lord cannot do. There is nothing that the Lord cannot do. We say that God can't save us because I've done this and this and this. There's no way He can save us in our human wisdom. We think it's impossible for God to save us. We think that God can't heal us. I've got this wrong with me. I've got that wrong with me. I've had this prayed for. I've had that prayed for. I have not been touched yet. I have not been delivered yet. Do not put God in a box. God can do all things. He is my healer. He is my provider. He is the all-sufficient one. Hallelujah. Don't do that to yourself. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son so you could have life. He wants to lead your life. Too many people are making their own decisions in regards to God. Salvation isn't for me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for me. I can prove to you over and over throughout the Scripture. God wants to bring dynamite to your life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then people will hear, well, then now He's talking about speaking in tongues. And you know what? I just don't go for that tongue thing, because you have already made your decision of what you will accept from God and what you will not. In the flesh, you made that decision.
And you know what? You need to be a Christian, and we all need to be Christians. It says, I don't care if God does want me to run up and down the aisles. I don't care if God does want me to roll up and down the aisles. I don't care if God does want me to speak in tongues. I want to do what God wants me to do, rather than saying, I'll do only what I feel comfortable in doing. If you only ever do what you feel comfortable with doing in your relationship with the Heavenly Father, you're not going to get very far. Because He wants to pull you out of your comfort zone. He wants to draw you into that intimate relationship with Him that's only through Him. I have not been changed. Since I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, He changed my life. When He baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and yes, indeed, I did speak in tongues, He has set my life on fire. It will never be the same, never has been the same. I preach harder today than I did when I was 35 years old. And you know what? The fire is not going out. The fire is not getting dimmer because of the power of the Holy Spirit. How many years I've been preaching for 35 years. How much more proof do you need of the power of the Holy Spirit that He wants to release into your life, every one of you today? So you will not be the same. You will not be the same. God does not want you to leave here the same. So many times it's not that we can't. It's that we've made the decision that we won't. Husband and wives, you run into this all the time, don't you? He's so stubborn. She's so stubborn. She won't change her mind. You ever think God looks at us and says, oh, they're just so stubborn. They won't change their mind. If they would just listen to me, I want to do something magnificent in their life. Has He not done something magnificent in this church life? I'm telling you, we didn't have the money to build this church. I have scratched my hair. I have pulled my hair. I don't have any hair left. But you know what? You just got to submit that to God and say, do it. Do it, because that's what the Holy Spirit says. You're going to be walking on, I believe that this week you're going to walk, and you're going to be walking to by somebody, and they're going to speak to you not in a fleshly voice, but their spirit, their fleshly spirit, is going to cry out to you, and you're going to want to share the gospel with them. Remember, know Jesus, grow in Jesus, tell others. You got a mission. You got a plan. You got a purpose for each and every one of us. Tell others about Jesus. What Jesus has done in your life. What Jesus has done in your life. Now let me tell you, give you an example of what the Holy Spirit, what He will do in your life. He will have you pray in an unknown tongue that will help you, to strengthen you, to pray over situations that you don't know how to pray when you don't know what to pray or what to say. Allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through you. Allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you. Allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. Last week I stood here in front of everybody and then I worried about it all week. I said that I had talked to Eric, and Eric said that Selena needed prayer. And then I said what the God had said. I was driving up a gravel road, and I was praying in an unknown tongue. I was praying in the Spirit for Selena, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I would have not called her to do what she is going to do in the church if this was wrong. And I said that last Sunday, and you were all here, most of you were here. And I got a report this week that everything is okay. Amen? Yes, amen. Praise God for His goodness. That's what the Spirit wants to do in each and every one of your lives. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just thank You, Father, for the presence of You that is so strong, so near, and so dear in each and every one of us today. And we pray that, Father, if there's anyone that does not know Jesus but needs to make that commitment to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that, Father, Your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and to their life right now. We pray for those that would have a spiritual desire, a spiritual hunger in their life, to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God, the search and the hunger and the thirst after the Spirit of God in their lives to be stronger and stronger and released.
I pray in the name of Jesus that you would baptize this whole church in the Holy Ghost. I pray that in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would fall in this place as never before. That, Father, people could just reach up and they could feel it. They could taste the Word of God in their lives. Glory to the name of Jesus. Father, we are thankful for this time that we gather in this place and this appointed time. That, Father, everyone would feel in this room, well, I am not here by accident. God is stirring in this church, and He is stirring in my life. That we indeed are not leaving here the same, but we're leaving here changed by your mighty hand and by your power, by your authority. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.